is that your prayer today? Illumine me. Spirit of God is the one, the only one, the spotlight of heaven, to help us to know what to do, where to go, how to live. He has a little friend up there on the screen. Take a big guess and see who chose that. A very full little happy little guy. So let's bow, let's thank the Lord for this Sunday. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the rain. We thank you, Lord, for the rain of your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for another rain, and that is the reigning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are so grateful that we do not view what we see, but we view the God that we cannot see, because he sees what we cannot see. And we look to you this morning, Lord, for your touch upon those that need your help today. Lord, for Marcella, Lord, for Kathleen, certainly for Wendy, for Dory, Lord Jesus, and for any that are here that need your touch, for Mo, Lord, you alone know every physical situation. You're the God of creation. You are the great physician. And I pray also, Lord, for you to touch the spirits and the emotions of those that need to be risen up in their spirit. The deep wounding of life is only won through the great hand of God himself. And I ask you, Lord, to do that. Lift us where you are, Lord, because you said you came to give us, Lord, that place to be lifted up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I pray you'd be with any that are still on their way to bring them safely. And may your name be glorified throughout your church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we're going to have a pie and fellowship at 6 o'clock for the Babcocks. So we invite everybody to come. I believe it'll be in the fireside room and to hear what the Lord is doing through them. I've never met them, so I'm looking forward to meeting them and seeing what the Lord is doing through their ministry. I have a note here from Harvey, who left it before he left. Marcella is the same, very weak and having problems with the side effects of the medication. So he said, please thank our church family for the prayers, calls, cards, and concern for us. And of course, he knows this, that they will continue. They will not end. We also will be needing some help for Kathleen as she continues on. She has surgery on the 17th of November, but she's not able to get to work and things like that. So we need some extra help in providing meals for her, things like that. I know that there's Meals on Wheels and some of the programs within the county, but they look like they're getting cut a little bit. So I don't know where that lands her or anybody else. But God is able. So please think about that. Pray about that for her. And in the meantime, tell someone near you that you're glad to see him. Now please stand for the Lord God Almighty.
Shall rise to thee, holy.
Mary to come up. We're going to anoint her with oil and pray for her. She had a seizure this morning and she's requesting prayer. So if you'd like to gather around her, come on up. And how many believe God answers prayers? Just so that you know you're not in a dictatorial church, I'm going to ask if the young folks would come and sit up in front. See, what a good guy. It's not that I can't see that far. Title of the message, God, the original Facebook. We have all kinds of gadgets in the world in which we live. And some of them are very interesting, and they afford us a lot of information that we wouldn't normally get. Now, they also can afford us information that we don't need. So we want to be careful. We want to be cautious. We want to be wise, right? We don't want something that could be good to end up being bad for us. So that's part of the reason I'm sharing today. And it's going to be out of Psalm 27. And I haven't specifically asked him, although I did ask his mother, which in my mind is the same thing. But I would like Zachary to come up and read the scripture this morning. Please stand for the word of God. You can read it out of here. Psalm 27, 7 to 4. You're going to read the scripture? Okay. How many love Zach? Well, we knew you'd have first claim. Okay, you're going to go from there to the end of the chapter.
All right. Okay, thanks. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witness rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to date myself a little bit. Was there anybody else in this room that grew up with a party line on your telephone? Okay. Welcome to the party. For you that don't know, it is when you'd have a telephone and it was ascribed to more than one party. And you'd get on the phone, and if somebody else was on it, you had to hang up. Didn't matter if you had to call for an emergency, you had to get off. Now, in our house, we had a lady that was in the neighborhood that was on our party line. And if you got on to call and no one was on it, but she picked it up, you had to get off immediately. Or believe me, her language is about the same color of the seats in here. So my mother would get on the phone and she'd match it. Blue for blue. And it was I'm surprised they didn't come out swinging. But you're on the phone, somebody's interrupting it, and you don't know how you're going to finish your conversation because somebody else is talking. Where we work, this was a number of years ago. Apparently, when the lines get wet, they have a tendency to multiply. I was on the phone talking to somebody in California, and I kid you not, she said, I've got to go to the other line. Can you hold? And I said, certainly. So I held, and then she came back on again, and she said, may I help you? And I said, well, I think you're helping me on the other line. And she said, you're on two lines. And I said, well, they've always said I had a split personality, I guess. You've just proven it. But it was because of the phone lines. You know, when you get on the phone, you want to have a complete conversation. You want to have a private conversation. You do not want somebody in your ear. Do you? I know I never liked it. I couldn't wait for us to get a private line, when I could talk for hours. which I would do. Actually, I would do it just to prove to people I could do it. It wasn't that I had anything interesting to say, but I just said, I will prove to you that I'll keep you on the phone for 2 hours. And I would do it. And that person still talks to me. But anyway, I understand fully the allure of Facebook, MySpace, and all the different things that are on board in the world in which we live. Facebook is the number one social network, right behind MySpace and some others. And they are prepared for one purpose, to give not only kids, it was originally for students, to give them a place where they could feel like they could communicate, right? You want to you be able to talk to the people you want to talk to, and you don't have anybody in your ear. And there's nothing wrong with that, necessarily. But there are some things you want to keep in mind. And so in the 27th chapter of this great psalm, because they're all great, I want to talk about the beginnings. It's important in life when you're studying something, when you're a part of something, to know the beginning of it. Because if you know the beginning, you'll know ultimately the fruit or what is born from it. That's how you avoid being in a cult or avoid being in certain bad situations. You know ultimately the fruit is bad. If you saw a fruit that was really ishy, would you eat it? No. Oh, Jerry would. Okay. He'd pray first and the Lord would take it back to his original state, or God would just heal him. Judy, you have our prayers. But it's important to know where something comes from. And you probably all know this because you're on Facebook, probably. You're in all of the happenings, so you know this. But I'm going to remind you of a little bit of it. February 4th, 2004 is cited as the beginning of Facebook, when a gentleman named Mark Zuckerberg started this outlet. Now, let me let you also know that there's current litigation about who really started the program, because there are three other people that he worked with to begin with that asked him to start a dating connection online at Harvard. That's where it started, in Massachusetts. And they asked him to set up a dating line. And so he was listening. This is what they're saying. He listened to everything, all their ideas, and then he just took, kind of delayed their vision, and he came over and did Facebook, so he could extend it beyond the dating pool and he could send it out into the highways and byways, and it's making gazillion amounts of money. So there is continuing litigation based on who really started Facebook. Whose idea was it? You can't capture an idea in your hand. You have to go to court and argue about it. Do you know that? Somebody's always arguing about who started it. And the interesting thing about this is that because it's in litigation, which means it's a lawsuit, they have what's called discovery motions. And that's when they discover different items that they are going to use to either be against it or for it. And in this case, what happened is they had to draw from the discovery pool the application to Harvard for Mark Zuckerberg, his diaries, his entries, his private sayings and thoughts. And all of that got on the internet. The very thing he created to have a private conversation, to have private moments, turned out different for him. And the litigation's not over yet. There's other people that say they were part of it. So I imagine you get a bandwagon, you get everybody on board with it. That's not to say the idea of it, there's anything wrong with it necessarily. It's just that when you have something, you cannot contain it. The minute you put your name or your thoughts or your feelings out there, other people could be listening. Because he hacked into the system to begin with. That's how he started. He had what was called Face Mash, where he'd take two pictures of people, students at Harvard, and I guess it was the idea to see which one was the prettiest or something. I don't think he connected them to see what they looked like, if they were of the same stock. But that's kind of how he got rolling with it. It's important to understand some of those things, that you're not blind about anything you're reading, anything you're looking at. In our day, it was the television or stuff like that. Be careful. They didn't have a V-chip in my day. We had my dad's fist, which was probably, actually, he wasn't too bad. But beginnings are important. Now, the original Facebook is God, right? He's the one originally who created us for a relationship with him. That was his exact intent. He said, I love Jaden. I want to talk to him. And I want him to hear me. See, a relationship is two-sided. And I know that a lot of the interest is getting your feelings out there and sharing what you think about different things. The other part of the quarter is to hear what somebody else is saying. And if God is the original Facebook, which he is, and if he's the one that wants a relationship with us, we need to hear what he has to say. Did you know God can talk to you? God wants to talk to us. I'm glad. I don't know about you. I'm glad that he's a personal Savior who wants to have a relationship with us. Now, the Bible says God has no beginning and no ending. So if you're looking for the beginning of God, keep looking, because it doesn't exist. He always was. God was not discovered by somebody in a back alley, but he allowed himself to be discovered by us. Isn't that fabulous? He allowed us. He allowed mankind by all the trail he left through the prophets, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. He's allowed us to find him and to know that he's real. So here it says in the 7th verse, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. God wants to answer us. But you got to stay long enough to hear the answer. We have a customer at work, I kid you not. You're talking to him, he'll ask a question and hang up before you give the answer. Not kidding you. And sometimes we don't stay long enough to hear the answer from the Lord. We need to do that, don't we? I believe we do. And as I've said before, and I'll continue to say, where it says Lord in caps, it is Yahweh, it is the name of God, it is the personal name that God gave for a relationship with people. And he said, Be gracious and answer me. And when thou didst say, Seek my face, my heart said to thee, Thy face, O Lord, I did seek. Do you know what it means to seek? It means to search until you find it. Now, at Easter, do you go and search for Easter eggs, or you used to? You search till you find them, right? My dad used to put dollar bills up, which I found infinitely more important. And I loved going to search for the money. And I guarantee you, I searched until I got mine. Yes, I did. We search until we find him. If you still have a yearning in your heart, in your life, and an empty place, you have not found the fullness of the Lord, because he will fill you. You will know you've met him, because he's real and he loves us. So it's important to know the beginnings, because God created us for a relationship with him sincerely. And he wants to hear everything. He wants to hear the good things, and he's not afraid to hear the bad things. You know why? He knows it anyway. If we're telling God something he doesn't know, then he's not God. He knows it. He just wants us to trust him and to get it out of us, because we're holding on to it. The beginnings. Then they become a bridge of communication. That's the intention. That's what this is for. Do you know that a lot of reason people go on Facebook or anywhere, not just that, you can go into dating services and all kinds of things, is because they're wearing a mask because they don't really want people to see who they really are sometimes? Got to put our best face on, which is okay. I mean, I don't expect that too many of us have a Sunday face. I hope your Sunday face looks like your Monday through Saturday. But a lot of people do. They feel like, well, nobody likes me this way, so I got to be somebody different. I hope that you're who you are and you're growing to know even more deeply who God wants you to be. Don't hide behind a mask, because ultimately you got to take it off sometime. It's more important not to put it on in the first place. So when you're in there, and this is something I'm sure your parents have told you, if you're on Facebook or you're on any kind of service like that, do remember this, that there are people on board that are wearing masks for the very purpose of trying to hurt. So always remember that. Okay, I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to be aware, because we want you all to be protected. We don't want anything to happen to anybody. Okay? And there's a lot of things in the papers these days about relationships. I read something about two women who were fighting over a man. Now, this guy's in prison, so they've either got a 10-year plan, they're waiting for him to come out or something. But they got in a big fight, and one of them hit the other one, the car. And the person who died wasn't even on Facebook. She was a passenger in the car. People can get hurt even if they're not part of it. So we just want to be careful. This is not a safe world all the time. And we want you to feel safe. So keep that in mind. God did not hide himself. The 9th verse says, "Do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy servant away in anger." God didn't hide his face from Adam and Eve. Remember when they sinned? They're the ones who hid. They said, "Lord, we knew that you'd know what we had done, so we just kind of walked away." But he knew exactly where they were, and he's the one who made the effort to go get them. And he covered them, and he protected them. You will find in your life that God is the only real one that you can go to, truthfully, because he already knows all about you. And he loves you anyway. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. Extraordinarily grateful. Do not hide thy face. Some of the worst things in the world is to feel that people are absent from your life. Did you know somebody can be present in your presence and be absent in your heart? They can be emotionally distant. How many have ever grown up or been around those folks? And they just never got what they needed. That was the sad part. And it continues on if it's not broken in the name of Jesus. The psalmist says, "Don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your face away in anger." Anger is a strong emotion, isn't it? What happens when you feel the anger of somebody else? Do you kind of walk away from them? Do you distance yourself? That's normal. But God is not like that. He says, "You've been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me." The word forsake, by the way, in the original means to, in the Aramaic, one of the original senses, means to be absent or to depart from. And it means to be remote. It doesn't mean to carry the remote. Okay. It means to be remote. And how sad it is for so many children whose parents or family are remote. They're in front of them, but they're emotionally distant. That is very sad. It's very difficult. I've been there. I understand it. But God is not like that. He is there. We're usually the ones that are a little more distant. He is fully invested in a relationship and a conversation with us. He goes on to say here, "Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation." One of the primal fears of people is to be abandoned. That's why babies cry like they do. They have never been away from that mother, that parent. But God said he'd never abandon us if we put our trust in him. You're never going to be left. Even if your father and mother abandon you. And I know a lot of people that have had that situation. God does not. He's a heavenly father. Do not treat him like other people have treated you, because that's not the way he is. The Lord will take me up. That means he'll pick you up and hold you. which is really what a child wants. It's what an adult wants. The bridge of communication to the God who is the God of Facebook, to the God who is the face we need to seek, the bridge is the cross. The bridge is the cross. There is no other way. That's what he provided for. Now, the barriers of protection are important. Do any of you kids in the front row here know anybody that had a bad experience on Facebook? I think some do. And in our generation, we could say something else, a different type of difficulty. But you can't control it once it goes out of who you are. And that's why we need to let the Lord direct our lives and the things we're involved in. Facebook has been seeking to control and to protect the users. They're initiating some new programs. I understand one of the things were if you clicked onto an ad or something, then it would immediately take you all your information and transfer it. And now they're trying to protect and trying to control that. The governor of Louisiana last fall signed into a law that teachers are forbidden to make social contact with students on Facebook because that's been happening. Did you know that your teacher is to be a mentor, is to be an educator, is not to be your social network? They should be friendly, but they're not your friend in that regard, at least not in their position as a teacher. And the lines get very confused in life. God doesn't want that. So the Bible says here, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. You know who the best teacher is? The Lord. He knows everything, so isn't he a great teacher? To tell us what we need to do, to give us wisdom, how to follow his way. And he says, lead me in a level path. Now, I know that the fun way of being led is to be led up and down. Any of you guys like going on the edge a little bit? Any of you like it? I don't care for it because I keep looking down. And I think that, you know, it's not that I don't think the Lord can catch you, but I'm not interested in finding out. So the Lord leads us on a level, on a straight path, because he wants to protect us. That's what he really wants to do. And something else he does, which I love, he's looking out for us. So he gave us a specific color that would help us. How many like the color red? You like the color red? Okay, good. It's the color the farthest away from your eye. And the reason, that's why they use it in stop signs. That's why they use it in the exit signs. When we're driving away from the hospital after seeing Wendy or Dory or whoever, we're always looking for that exit sign, and it's in red. So we know how to get out of there. Because as much as we love to visit, we really like to get out of the parking lot. And we've spent an enormous amount of time in parking lots. We pray for the people, but, you know, we like to get through it. The Lord gave us a red dot. He gave us red. He gave us his blood. That's the way out. That's the way out of danger. He wants us to know it. He wants us to see it afar off. He wants us to be careful. Because if we don't, a lot of people get in trouble. And we don't want anybody in trouble. We want to be in freedom, right? We want to go forward in freedom, and that's what God wants. So he gave us the color red. Facebook was intended, originally, his idea was for a dating premise. And personally, I can't think of a better way to get to know the Lord, who is called the bridegroom in the Bible, than through his word and through a relationship. Because he wants to know you. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is that we get to know him. and that we talk to him. Because if we don't, we have an average American teen that is sending and receiving 3,339 texts per month. We'll be praying for your thumbs and wrists and everything. That tells me that they want communication. They want to be known. Everybody wants to be known. They want to be important to somebody. And you are. You're important to a lot of people. And you're mostly important to the Lord. Please never forget that. Please don't forget it. Because he's the only one. Remember, he's the original Facebook. He was here first. And there are people in litigation and in lawsuits that are still trying to figure out that God didn't write the Bible and that he's not real. But I got news for you. He's going to outdistance them all. Because he's everlasting to everlasting. He will outlast every appeal. The Old Testament, how many remember Moses? You never met him, but you read about him. And the Bible says that he saw the backside of God. At least he saw part of him, right? In the New Testament, the Bible says, Jesus said these words, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus is the face of God. He is the Facebook. He is the communication from heaven. He is the expression of Almighty God. He's somebody that lived on this earth and knows exactly what you're going through. He's the one we look to. Aren't you glad he's real? Not a figment of somebody's imagination? I'm sure glad. I'm glad that he's my Facebook. And I'm glad he's on all the time. He never shuts off his program. He doesn't say, "Nah, I'm done with you." I've heard from Isabel once too many times. She's had her quota. He doesn't do that. He's always there. But we're not. So I'd encourage you, get to know this God of the Bible. Get to know the original Facebook. Because he is looking forward to talking to you. Please bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you're so far above all of the understandings of this world and the things that man creates. And we know that you allow it, and we know that you've given gifts and mind abilities and all of these things for people, Lord, to branch out in communication. And it can be good and it can be bad. And I pray today, Lord, for each one of these dear young people that are here, especially, that they would know that they can talk to you anytime. You're not on the phone with someone else. Your attention is solely to them. They can tell you their fears. They can tell you their dreams. And I pray that they'd listen and they'd have a full relationship with the face of God, the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, and I pray if there are any of them that are here that have never given their life to Jesus, that they would do that. Because you gave your life for us thousands of years ago. You already proved that you loved us. And I pray that they would do that if they have not done it yet. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask really quickly. I came to Christ as a teenager. And I know the Lord can touch us at any age, because he knows what's in our heart. And if you're here and you'd say, "You know, I've learned about the Lord, but I've never really given him my life. But I'd like to do that today." Don't feel pressure. I'm just saying, if that's in your heart to do, please raise your hand so I know to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. But if you're here, please raise your hand so I know to pray for you. Father, I thank you that you are what's called the hound of heaven that can continue to work on us. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless these young people. Give them, Lord, your word. Give them your heart. Show them, Lord Jesus, that they can meet the needs of their life. They can communicate. They can do all those things. But we must let Jesus do it first and guide us and direct us so we are in the right spot, listening to the right people who are not going to hurt us but are going to be a friend. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd minister to them today and to every person in this house. Lord Jesus, you are here first. You are the Lord God Almighty. And we thank you that you gave a face to all of the things that you said. And it was in the name of Jesus Christ. May we follow him. May we serve him. And let your word come alive in us, Lord Jesus, so others can come to know the one who made a bridge from sin to life, and it was called the cross. Lord God, we are grateful that you took the first step. Lord Jesus, bless, I pray, each one, Father, in your precious holy name. Amen. Please stand for the final song. For coming up front. Patrick, if you would close in prayer.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, that we can come together and worship with one another. And Lord, just to encourage one another and to, Lord, just go out into the world after this service, Lord, and just to present Jesus to everyone. And Lord, we just want to thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.